The Scott Mills Daily.
Another one?
Fun time blowing bubbles through a straw. Sounds naughty.
Did it get merged in a wibbly wobbly out?
Easy Radio.
One, two, three.
Let's go.
Scott Mills.
The one.
For the immature.
You're under a citizen's arrest. You are done.
3, 2.
Radio One.
Here is the Scott Mills Daily Podcast for Monday. The awards you've won at school, uni or work. You must be so proud. Another of life's brilliant people on Ask Me Anything. And Geraint Thomas, actual proper sports person, offers Chris some much needed help with a small injury downstairs. That's Major Lazer and DJ Snake and Mo. Lean on Radio 1. Clean Bandit and Julia Michaels coming up, and also Medusa and Good Boys and Lil Tecca. Hope weekends were good. An excellent performance from Taylor Swift to start Radio 1's Live Lounge month today. Although I noticed Clara did give Taylor a chef's kiss. She's done it again.
So that's what's on the menu for today.
That is a good looking menu.
Thank you.
Chef's kiss.
Someone just told me, I didn't know this. You know the like okay hand emoji?
Yeah.
That is a chef's kiss.
Is it?
I think it is, yeah. Like the, you know, the kind of okay like hand.
Yeah, well look, we know what Clara's trying to say. It's like, wow, amazing, lovely food.
Yeah,
although, I think it's slightly Italian, isn't it?
Yeah. But don't Google that at work.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Can't believe it. 8 p.m. last night, the foxes are at it again outside my house. You might have seen on my Instagram.
Yours is a hotspot. I actually think foxes travel from around the place to come visit your place. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they know that you're in there. I don't know if it heightens things. But for some reason, you seem to get it really bad.
8 p.m.? Who do they think they are? For a good half an hour, it's like this. It's horrific. I know what they're doing. They're hands not.
Is it one or two, or is it groups of them?
I believe that it was two. And whatever. I mean, they were having a lovely time. But why so much noise, please? Well, why such exhibitionists?
The thing is about foxes is they're going to make a different noise. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, the foxes sound like foxes. The reason why it sounds quite disturbing is because it's foxes themselves. They make different noises, don't they?
What, do you make that much noise?
No, but I'm not a fox.
So why do they have to make so much noise? Listen to it. It's awful.
No, but that sounds... No, but the thing is, it sounds awful. If that was it, because you're imagining it as a human, but that's not, that's a fox, that's just the noise they make.
Right.
If it, you know, you'd make a different noise to that, wouldn't you?
You don't hear dogs doing it, do you?
What,
do you?
Yeah, but my point being is that that's just a fox noise, that's fine.
Well, no,
leave the foxes alone, they're happy, that's the noise they're making because they're happy.
Name me anyone, any other animal from the animal kingdom that makes a noise like that.
If the foxes were sounding like you being happy, I'd be more disturbed.
It's just like, you don't hear any, like, cats, you don't hear them doing it. Do you? Do you?
I don't know.
No, it's just them. Only them outside my house. 8 p.m. for a good half hour.
Are you ready for it?
Jack. The Scott Mills Daily.
I did not know that the male fox is barbed. Who knew? That was Lil Tecca and Ransom on BBC Radio 1.
The animal kingdom is a funky place.
It is a funky place.
There's a lot going on there.
Barbed.
I'm just interested why your house seems to be the target of it. However, that's just the noises foxes make. Different animals, different noises.
Do you want to hear a turtle? No, a tortoise, sorry. Tortoise?
Go on. Mm-hmm. It's hard to work out what's going on there.
See, I've never heard that before in my life. Definitely not outside my house.
Scott Mills.
Do I need to stop wearing shorts to work soon?
It feels like it's getting towards that time, doesn't it?
We had a show meeting earlier and I was the only one in shorts now, and I'm just trying to hang on to the summer, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, everyone's doing that. I keep hearing that. Everyone's squeezing out the last few days of summer.
But I did pack a jacket today. Autumn is coming.
Good.
Right, so you are cycling again, right?
I've started doing a little bit of cycling, and I've got one eye on doing this big cycle ride that happens. It's like a palace-to-palace thing, charity thing, right? And it's 45 miles. So I've just started getting out on the bike thinking, right, well, I'll do sort of round local a little bit. And, mate, the pain I'm experiencing from it is unreal. Right on the saddle.
Yeah. So if you rode a bike yesterday, or even if you haven't been on a bike for years, we all know the pain that it can cause.
Yeah. It's there. It's right where you'd be placed on the saddle. It hurts.
It really hurts.
And I put out something on social media about this because I wanted to know, is this normal for a short period of time, or is this just going to happen forever now? Is there anything I can be doing to improve the situation?
Yeah. I mean, it's neither here nor there, really. It's like not quite the bum, is it?
Can I describe it as, you know, your bridge at Fleet Services?
Yes.
You've got the traffic moving in one direction on one side.
Yes, indeed.
And the other way on the other. And then there's a bridge that connects the two services.
Yes.
That's exactly what I'm talking about here. Anyway, put this out on social media. Got the most unlikely response from someone.
Yeah. And we're going to speak to them next.
Radio 1, Scott Mills.
Anyone who's into cycling will know the pain. You pick up the bike again and it gets raw down there.
Yeah.
It's taking a lot of heat from the saddle. And that is what is affecting me at the moment since I've started cycling again. Thinking of doing this charity ride, right?
Mm.
So anyway, I put this on social media about some of the pains that I'm experiencing. Is it normal? What can I do? And we got an unlikely reply.
Down at Watford Junction?
Yeah, that's the other name for it, yeah. It's quite hard to describe, but I think we all know what we're talking about here. Anyway, got a reply on social media from Geraint Thomas, which is just, it's just ridiculous. BBC Sports Personality of the Year, Tour de France winner, cycling legend. And I thought that we'd get him on and we'd speak to him about the issue.
He's on the line now. Hello, Geraint.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
I can't believe this is actually happening.
Neither can I, really, to be honest.
No.
You see, some would say this sort of chat is beneath someone of your calibre, you know, Sports Personality of the Year, you know, cycling legend. But it must be fair to say that your gooch has taken an absolute battering over time.
Yeah, it does. I think I'm lucky. A lot of people suffer a bit more than me. But for instance, Chris Froome, last year he was having quite a few problems. He even flew people out to come and inspect his
gooch doctor.
Garage. Yeah, well, no, he wasn't a doctor, but he was trying to design a new short for him. But it is a problem that we still have to deal with now, basically. So
does it become like desensitized almost?
Not really. Like, it doesn't really toughen up or anything. It's not like I've got a granite gooch, but
We're talking to BBC Sports Personality of the Year and Tour de France winner about this.
Yeah, but it's fair chat, I think. Is it something that when you get to your level, you just deal with it? Because quite a few people are suggesting to me that I should just deal with it, you know, just get on with it.
It hurts.
It's kind of what comes with the territory.
You kind of get used to it, but you just need a good pair of shorts, a good saddle, and you can get like a cream as well that you put on your shorts.
Oh, what's that called?
Obviously, cycling shorts are a chamois cream.
Chamois.
So you get
cream,
like a little. Yeah, we have a little chamois that we sit on, basically. It's not just... Don't wear underpants either. You've got to be just the shorts and...
Oh,
but surely that's even less protection, no?
Yeah, but then you get a bit of chafing and... Oh, it's even worse then, mate. You don't want to go down that road.
I mean, sorry that I questioned one of the greatest sportsmen of our time.
Sure. It's worth asking, though. When you get to your level, right, and it's the same with footballers at a certain level, there's professionals that sort of deal with every area of your body. And you suggested that certain sports people can bring out doctors that specialise in that area. Do you have to have some sort of, like, for want of a better phrase, gooch inspection, or like someone that just deals with that part of your body?
The doctors at the race would, if you're having a problem down there, you'll come to your room and have a little look, and maybe give you a bit of cream or whatever, or you can get a little, like, I don't want to get too technical, actually, I guess, but
no, it's
not
okay.
Very nice.
It's good to know.
It's fine.
Yeah, you can get like, you know, little spots, little sores down there, and the doctor maybe cut them. Yeah, and
you really suffer for your art.
Into it.
Yeah, it does sound. It's great though because you're like a perennial professional.
are there things that you could maybe find around the house that you could stuff down there to help, or is that am I completely like off target here?
I don't know. I can't say I've tried it.
No.
But,
I mean, that's because you're a professional, but like, I don't know, like a sofa cushion or something.
Yeah. Maybe just try two pairs of shorts or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can sort of do to myself. There's no point in me sort of massaging it of an evening. We'll just stick with the cream, you know, just something like that. There's nothing really. You know, a bit like pork, you know, you can sort of batter it with a mallet, can't you? To kind of... What is that? Detenderize it?
Yeah.
Do you know, it's nothing like that needs to go on.
I've never experienced it. I've never had mine massaged or tenderized, but is, you never know.
Garen, can you believe
this? Let me know how it goes.
This is the most basic chat you've ever had in your whole career. but it's something that Chris really did want to know about, and we are so pleased that you took the time to get in touch.
It's just crazy that you would even bother to entertain this sort of discussion. However, I really want to get into cycling. I'm sure you appreciate that as well.
Yeah, of course, yeah. More and more people are enjoying it, so...
Yeah,
it's a pleasure. Sorry, I couldn't be more insightful.
No, it's just good to know there's a cream. I didn't even know that that was a thing. So.
Yeah, and I just wish it was more of a pleasure. That's exactly it at the moment. But I'm sure it will be. And look, thank you so much for the advice.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
Geraint Thomas, legend.
No sports person will ever come on this show ever again.
No, and you can't blame him. But incredible advice all the same. Hopefully helpful for other people.
BBC. Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Every week on this show, every Monday, we shine a light on life's special people. These are the people that, I mean, it's very hard not to feel jealous of because they've achieved more than you or I have probably ever will.
Well, it's sometimes that they've achieved great things. Sometimes it's just that they have an extraordinary skill or talent, almost superhuman.
Absolutely. Now, we don't get told who is getting put through to us before we speak to them. And that's the joy of it. And then we get to ask them anything. So, hello, caller. Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, my name's Keith Fisher. I run an organisation called the Institute of Meat. I'm a chief sausage judge for several organisations. And I've been making sausages since I was about 12 years old.
So, is it fair to say, Keith, you're a professional sausage taster?
Yes, it would be. Yeah, absolutely.
This is amazing. What a great honour. I love sausages. You love sausages, Scott.
I do.
The idea that you could be sort of judging sausages on the regular. How many sausages have you eaten in your life, do you reckon? Have you ever taken
just
a
purely in terms of the National Sausage Week, which is now coming in, this will be its 22nd year this year, averages about 550 to 600 entries every year. So works out about 12,500 entries so far.
But do you ever go on every sausage?
I've tasted most of them.
Didn't you not get tired of them and you're like, I just want something else?
Never.
Something else.
I think it's just, you know, the sausage is one of those most versatile things. I mean, whether you're bangers and mash or sausage and chips or barbecue or sausage sandwich, toad in the hole, you know, they've got something for everything, really.
But he's not just trying one sausage, not same sausage for life, Scott. It's different sausage all the time because he's testing the different ones.
That's right. When we get entries, we ask them to send in a pound or 450 grams of sausages. And if you were to line all 600 of them up side by side, there wouldn't be two the same.
No, it's strange around the moon.
Not in colour, shape.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if I was having the same old sausage all the time, I would, I'd get bored. But you're saying that you're trying all of the, like, you're having loads in your mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, undoubtedly, the traditional breakfast pork sausage is still the most popular out there. But we run an innovative category as well, where, you know, people throw any sort of flavour into them and just, you know, see what the judges come up with, whether they like them or not. I mean, we've had Marmite sausages, Marmite and pork, and you, as you can guess, you know, you either like them or loathe them.
Any other left-field flavours?
Oh, you know, blueberry and maple pork sausages.
Well, let me stop you there, Keith. Dessert sausages. I've never even imagined that.
I mean, last year we had a Christmas pudding one.
I see, that's not right.
I mean, I think as long as it's got some pork in it, I mean, people can enter what they want. They can enter beef, venison, chicken.
Yeah, I tried a chicken sausage once. It wasn't for me.
Well, the worst one I ever had in my life was a haddock.
Fish sausage?
Oh, no.
you never want a fishy sausage.
Absolutely awful.
What would you say then is sort of the king of sausage or Keith, how would you describe yourself? Prince of pork? What would you say is the perfect sausage? Describe it to me.
Yeah, like Keith, what do you look for in a sausage?
I mean, the perfect sausage, first of all, it's got to look good. I mean, if you look at something and it looks awful, you're not going to buy it in the first place. I'm looking at consistent size. I want everyone to be the same. I'm looking at how well it's filled. Is it podgy? Is it, you know, spongy? I don't want that.
You want them all to be the same length?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, that's boring.
It doesn't matter whether they're all short or they're all long, as long as they're all the same.
Okay, got you.
Where do you stand on a German sausage, a bratwurst?
Well, I mean, you know, each for their own, really. I mean, I've been over there and I've done a lot of tasting in Germany. But, you know, what we've got here are British customers and they like a traditional pork sausage.
Now, Keith, I'm presuming you're never far away from a sausage, being a professional sausage taster.
I've had sausages for lunch today on the barbecue. I've got sausages in the fridge, which I'll probably polish off later.
Oh, excellent. I wonder if you, for the next part of this interview, if you could head to the fridge right now and get out one of those cooked sausages. Meanwhile, we'll take a break here.
The Scott Mills Daily.
We've got Keith with us on Ask Me Anything. He's a professional sausage taster. Hi, Keith.
Hi.
Now, you've got the sausages there from the fridge?
Yeah, I've got a couple of sausages on the plate, cold.
All right, now what I'd like you to do, Keith, for the next part of the interview is just to pop one of them in your mouth and we'll do the rest of the interview like that.
Okay.
Just the tip.
Yeah, okay.
Is it in?
Okay.
Put it in, Keith.
Yeah, okay. Right, what I'm chewing basically now and I'm thinking about the texture.
Yeah.
The taste and smell that's coming through, is it juicy? They don't want something that's too dry on the palate. So,
I thought Scott just wanted you to rest the sausage in your mouth, but that's fine.
Okay.
So you say 600 a year, Keith.
Well, I probably do more than that because, I mean, this is just what I'm talking about now is National Sausage Week, which is at the end of October, the actual week itself.
Yeah, I can hear that.
We celebrate it.
I can hear you salivating on that sausage there.
Oh, it's very nice, actually. I'm probably full up from them at lunchtime, but I'm still managing to eat this one as well.
And, so how many a day are you having?
Well, I mean, most days I'll have a couple.
Incredible. You never get bored?
Never, ever. You know, in the years, you never, unless you go to the same place week in, week out where they make them consistently. I mean, what I do, I know lots and lots of independent retail butchers who make superb sausages. And when I'm going around, I like to buy some off each of them, really, to try them.
It's really got my imagination running wild, I should say, Keith. Maybe in line with Sausage Week, we should do some sort of sausage fest. Sounds like the kind of thing you might be into and therefore others.
What would that involve?
I guess it would just be...
Our own festival?
Yeah. Maybe for the day we encourage everyone to get involved with the sausages and...
And I mean, you know, particularly the independent sector of the retail trade, butchers, independent butchers, I mean, they'd be really interested in participating, you know, and give them the opportunity to showcase some of the more unusual types and flavours that they do.
Great idea. Radio's first sausage fest ever.
Absolutely. If you want the chief judge, I'm there.
Oh, yes, Keith. Okay, we might get you involved. Okay, I think I'm done. Thank you very much.
Big love to the Prince of Pork there.
Keith Fisher, professional sausage taster. What's for tea tonight, Keith?
Sausages. sausages definitely.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I actually really like that, despite hating the start of the original track.
No.
Worst intro of a song ever.
I thought you were saying you hated the original of that song.
Ultranate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate the beginning.
But you like the song, just to clarify.
You know, the song's just like, you just have, I don't have any reason for it. I just can't bear. Just the beginning. Heady One and both.
This is BBC
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Hello, Matthew Manchester.
Hello.
Why are you so annoying? I'm not saying that. You just told one of the team that your workmates say you're the most annoying person going. Why? Why though?
Because I wind them up from the moment I get up to the moment I go to bed.
Right. Are you a bit of a joker?
Yeah, trying to be.
Yes. You're the kind of person...
I like Chris.
I think you would, you would brighten my work day, Matthew, I think.
Lovely. That's what I want to hear.
Do you do a company awards at the end of the year, and have you won any?
No. It would be good, but no, we don't.
I like all the comedy awards that happen, you know, because obviously you get the high performers and all that sort of thing, but my favourite is, like, Joker of the Year.
Yeah.
We don't really do that here so much, though, do we?
Banter of the Year goes to Matthew in Manchester.
The reason why I can't do it here at Radio 1 is because they'd have to give every DJ an award or there'd be unhappiness.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. If everyone else got one, Scott didn't, he'd moan. It just isn't worth...
I'd be fuming.
Isn't worth our company doing that.
Yeah.
Company.
Our company. No, it's true, because loads of companies have awards. We don't really seem to have them here at Radio 1.
We don't do it. It's because too many egos.
Yeah.
Would you have to host it?
Well, except that's another ego problem. And honestly, that's the truth of it.
Like, a lot of people's nose would be out of joint. Me.
Everyone would have to present it. Everyone would have to win one.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And then like one of the new ones that could be hosting it. I'd be like, what are you doing?
Please.
I don't think so, Ariel Free.
Jordan North.
You know.
Well, no. It's a bad idea. Right, so here is what I've got on today's bangers.
Good choice.
This is The Weeknd and The Hills.
Good choice.
It is such a good song, this. I like to imagine you driving around in your car, do you know what I mean? Subs on.
I'm in my mum's car.
Yeah, in your mum's car. Good choice. Hey, my choice today, I think I put it in last week or the week before, and I really, really want to hear it, so I thought I'd do it again. Quite emo, though.
Good.
This is The Fray, How to Save a Life.
Okay, Matthew, over to you.
Now, I usually go 50-50, and sometimes, quite often, Chris, but this time, I'm going to go Scott.
Your man on the road, he doing promo. You say keep our business on the low low. I'm just trying to get you out the friend zone, cause you look even better than the photos. One Extra Talks is about real life stories.
It happened to me at that moment in time.
Your life and the issues we all go through.
I didn't see any black boys that look like me.
Topical stuff that affects us all. The place where we get open and honest.
Why are you dating? What? It's just common sense, no?
Covering topics like body image, being gay and black, hustle culture, relationships, your health, and much, much more.
They just think there's only one of us when there's like thousands of us.
We get past all the taboos so we can get to the heart of the subject.
One Extra Talks with Rhys Parkinson.
Download and subscribe now at BBC Sounds. I love this song. We should talk more about people and what awards they've won at work. Mm.
Work, or, you know, when you do a leavers thing, sick form, uni, college, that kind of thing, and you do, like, in-house awards, even if they're a bit jokey.
Let us know if you've got one. And if you're proud of it.
Someone just texted in saying if he got an award at work, it'd be worst taste in music.
Oh, come on.
Quite a basic insult, but goes along the lines of what we're talking about.
Yeah. Another track that you'd hear on the radio in France and be like, oh, okay then. That was The Weeknd and The Hills.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hey, Georgia.
Hi.
What did you win?
When I left sixth form, I won the most likely to be ID'd when I'm 30.
Congratulations for that.
Thank you. I don't even look that young. I'm just really, really short, like 4'11". So everyone assumed I'd still be getting ID'd when I'm 30.
Okay. Did you get any kind of a certificate or trophy for this?
I got a whole pink sash to wear.
Yeah, love a sash.
Yeah.
Did you get any other awards or was it just the one?
Oh, I came second place and got a certificate for being the second biggest drama queen and the second worst driver. It's not really fun for a drama queen to win the second biggest drama queen. You kind of want the whole award, you know?
I'd be happy with this. I would want first in drama queen. Well, yeah.
You would. You're going to be a drama. It's like stoking the fire, isn't it? You're going to...
Exactly.
You're going to be even more of a drama queen about coming second.
Gemma, what was your one?
I won three awards. So I won most likely to be prime minister, yes. Most likely to take over the world, yes. And best party.
Oh my God, you
what, like political party or...
No, I had a house party, so yeah, it was quite extravagant.
Three really good awards.
But who voted for the awards? Was it the teachers or fellow students?
No, it was the other students.
You sound like a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Scott Mills. There is so much wrong going
on outside. Pink on Radio 1. I don't think I've worn anything, like school or anything. I've never worn a sash.
No. Well, you weren't most likely to do anything.
Anything, no.
Anything.
Literally anything.
Most likely to do nothing.
Obviously, the radio awards came later.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, not as a kid or young adult, no. Didn't happen. It happened to Emma, didn't it, though?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Sixth form, I won most likely to become a wag.
Ho! They were on the Who game last week, weren't they?
Yeah. In fact, yes, we hooed them last week. Well, was that awarded by teachers or students?
It was awarded by students, and I was pretty disappointed because it was up against awards like most likely to be Prime Minister, most likely to make a scientific discovery, and I won that.
Did you win anything else, or was it just that?
No, literally just that.
What made people think that you were going to become a WAG?
I don't know, really. Probably my friends would say I can be a bit high maintenance.
Okay, well, fair play for admitting that.
And shout out all the WAGs listening.
Are they still on, WAGs?
WAGs?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they're called WAGs anymore. Do you know what I mean? I think we've moved on.
Okay. Have you got with a footballer then?
No, do you know what? I actually dated a rugby player for a few years.
Yes!
There we go.
Go on, WAG.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Rebecca in Glasgow, congratulations to you and your co-worker. Voted best would-be couple in 2015. Just celebrated their 4th anniversary.
That's wicked. I love it when the odds are against couples ever getting together, but somehow through weird times they end up that way. I reckon that's happened to a few people.
Yeah. James in Norwich, after doing his GCSEs earlier this year, got an award for most likely to become a famous musician. Fast forward 2 months, he's just got back from playing a set at Sundown Festival this weekend.
Yes.
Go on, James. And Freddie in Rye, congratulations to you for winning most likely to be still living at your mum's house when 30 is 30 next month. And yeah, still with his mum.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh, Orla.
I know.
Tell us what's happened.
Okay, so basically today I was so full of hope and I failed my driving test for the fourth time in a row, basically. And it's really upsetting. And, you know, after the first time, everyone's like, oh, everyone passed on the second time, the best driver passed the second time. And you failed the second time, and I was like, oh, third time lucky. And then today I really thought it was the day, but no, it was not.
Do you think you're ever going to pass now? Because this was the fourth time.
No, I actually don't think I ever will. Honestly.
Yeah, you will.
What's happened? What's going so wrong? Is there one thing?
Well, it's just got some things. Every single time I failed. So the first time, I got 13 minors and 3 majors. That was not
3
great.
Majors?
Yeah.
And how many minors?
13.
Okay, and skip forward a bit then. So your fourth time, which you've just done.
Yeah, so 4 times. So basically, I got a major because I kept driving too slowly on a country road.
Okay.
So I was going, like, in my mind, I was going fine because I was, like, bricking it down this road, going as fast as I physically could. But she was obviously thinking I was going too slow. And then the time before that, I got failed because I drove on the wrong side of the road for a little bit.
Wrong side of the road there?
Yeah,
just that classic thing that you do when you're driving. But, it's really annoying. But it means I have to get the bus.
Do you know what you got to do? You just got to stick with it. Keep doing the lessons. You will get there eventually. It sounds to me that it's probably best that you do a few more lessons.
None taken, honestly. I understand. But
yeah.
I have to get this rubbish bus now.
It's the bus again for you, isn't it? It's a bit like
awful.
Me when the cat went under during my 3-point turn. I've told you before.
That was a major, wasn't it?
It really was. Well, no, it's not my fault. The cat decided halfway on the second point of the 3-point turn to go under the car and stay there. And I'm like, well, I obviously don't want any harm to come to the cat.
But,
and then they failed me. And that is not my fault. That was the animal.
Yeah, but they're not going to give a cat a major, are they? That's the thing. Even though it was the cat's fault.
It was, definitely. To this day, it was. Orla.
Yeah.
All the best people pass on their 5th time.
Come on, bat stronger. You'll get there eventually.
That's what we say.
Yeah, that's what they always say, the 5th time. They're always the best drivers.
Radio 1, the Scott Mills Daily.
This will make Orla feel better. Do you know who had 7 tests?
Who?
Jordan North.
Really? 7?
7! One of them, he stormed out of the car halfway through the test and got the bus home.
Loads of people are messaging in saying, oh, it happened to me, took me ages. I think it's quite hard driving tests, aren't they? I mean, did you
they
ever
are
pass?
Quite hard.
Oh, you do
what
drive,
do you mean,
actually?
Did I pass?
Yeah, well, I find that hard to imagine that you would have got yourself together for that. How many goes did you take?
Guess.
Oh. Is it higher than a 4?
Absolutely not.
No, nothing wrong with that. I'm just surprised. What about theory test?
Yeah, I wasn't great at that. To be fair, the guy did say to me, I shouldn't really pass you, but I'm going to, because I don't want to see you again.
Scott Mills.
No, because I wasn't Scott Mills then.
Did you tell the driving instructor you were on the radio?
No, because that puts your insurance right up. I'm interested to know what you failed for on your driving test on 81199. We could do some of these tomorrow. Yeah, when I was 17, because I was on radio then, I called up and was like, car insurance, please. They were like, well, it's going to be millions of pounds because you're more likely to be in the car with a famous person. It's like, I'm not. I'm on Power FM.
Also, the idea that if you're in the car with a famous person, that will somehow affect you more.
And also, there's never been a famous person in my car still now. So that's nonsense. True that. Absolute nonsense.
Scott Mills.
If you like that, hit subscribe on BBC Sounds. We're back live on Radio 1 tomorrow from 1.